Hello, everybody. My name is Joe Vargas, and you're listening to My Swift Journey podcast, my adventures of becoming an iOS developer. Hi, everybody. It's Joe. It is 9:40 p.m. on Friday, August 27th, 2021. This is episode 9. And I couldn't be more happier to record this episode. In episode 8, I discussed on how I was returning to the office to return back to the office and, you know, pretty much pick up where we left off with my coworkers and all that. We all, or at least me and my coworker, we were scheduled to return on the 12th of July, and there was some, I guess, change of plans, so we didn't return until the 13th. So we returned it on the 13th, and let me tell you, it was as awkward and weird as I imagined it. It's almost like it was the first day of school. You know, seeing, you know, your friends again, you know, from summer vacation. You know, it was pretty cool. It was good to see everybody again. The only thing is that, and I'm not gonna get into the specifics of like who showed up and who did not, but there seemed to have been like a select few of employees to return to the office, and to be honest with you, I felt like a lab rat, you know, a guinea pig, if you will. It was, to be honest, there was about 4 to 5 of us on shift compared to pre-pandemic times. You know, there was at least 30 people there at a time, and I worked during night shift, so even then, during the night shift, there's at least 15 people there, but again, there was only 5, including myself. And I finished my hitch at the office. I worked 7 days, and then I was off for 7 days, and I had to maintain the night shift schedule, because I was going to return back for 1 more week. So I returned for that 1 week, and I breezed through it. And then I was off again for 2 weeks, where I went to go visit my sister for a whole week. I flew out of Houston on the 6th of August, and I returned on the 14th. And just to prepare myself to get started with returning back to work. This time it was going to be the day shift. So needless to say, my thoughts on returning to work, y'all know, I wasn't very pleased. I just felt that, you know, what I do, I was perfectly fine doing it from home. And I guess, you know, the higher ups, the suits, you know, they thought, oh no, you know, it's time for everybody to go back to work, you know. You know, I guess, call it what you may, you know, these corporate people, they think that, you know, they just had to keep an eye on us and everything. You know, again, their production didn't go down. Productivity didn't go down, sorry. And it was just this trend of, you know, in a way, micromanaging, you know, people, they just got to keep an eye on us, you know, to make sure we're doing our work or whatever. But I'm not going to get into, you know, in depth on that. those are my thoughts on that. That I knew very well that me and my team can do our job at home, safely at home. And I was really worried about getting sick on my commute to and from work, especially since the Delta variant was growing more and more of a concern. More and more cases were being reported. And I take public transportation to and from work. I take the bus. There's a bus route right next to me. It takes me directly to the office and brings me back. So that was a real big concern of mine, that I was going to catch something on the bus. And this is before I took my flight out to go see my sister. And I was really worried because I was hoping I wouldn't get sick and have to cancel my flight and lose money there and not having to go see my sister, or, you know, get sick late into my hitch where I'm not feeling symptoms, but when I do take my flight out to go see my sister, that's when I develop symptoms. And, you know, you have to apparently quarantine 14 days, and that was going to cut into my return flight home. And I don't carry my work stuff with me, so that was also going to cut into returning back to work. So I expressed my concerns to my direct supervisor. And what she said was, look, it's up to our client to accept the fact that if they're okay with you working from home, then we can allow you to work from home. But right now, there's a contractual obligation for you to be at the office. So this contract they signed 2-3 years ago is what was holding us liable and responsible to show up to the office. And that's one thing that really pisses me off, because that contract was signed years before this pandemic. You know, like, they couldn't make, you know, they couldn't rearrange, or they couldn't restructure the contract where they could allow us not to be obligated for the sake of our health and let us remain working from home. And it was just so frustrating that my own company and our client company, they weren't budging. That was, I think, the second week that I worked night shift. This is after I already had work 1 week, I was off a week, and this is the second round of me working nights. Well, during my time off, I had a coworker message me saying, hey, you know, there's a lot of chatter that they're backtracking on allowing people to going back to work. And this was during my time with my sister. I was already down there with her and visiting her and everything. So when I returned back on the 11th, and it was about 3 more days for me to go back into the office, I heard from the same person who heard this chatter. And he said, look, it's beginning to be a more and more popular opinion that they made us come back to the office too soon. So as I walk into the office on the 18th of August, which was last week, apparently there was a survey taken by the client company and everyone under their payroll there. Apparently about 67-68% of those who took the survey were in agreement, were very pro working from home. And I will say this, at least the client company heeded this survey, took this survey into consideration, and started reconsidering. You know, the ball started rolling, and it gained momentum to where they actually agreed that maybe it was best that we didn't go into the office so soon. So on the 19th, the day after, somebody from the client company came to me at around 5 p.m. and said, hey, we've all agreed that it's best that starting tomorrow, which is Friday the 20th, starting tomorrow, everyone starts working from home again. So I told my supervisor, because she was out of the office, and I told everyone, you know, who needed to hear it from my company, that hey, the client company said that we can start working from home starting tomorrow, which is the 20th. So for about 7 days now, it's been a week that I've been comfortably working from home, and I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier to share it with you, because it was just very stressful. It was very aggravating. I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't comfortable putting myself at risk. And I'm just glad that I did not get sick, and that, you know, the client company heeded. They listened to their employees, and they allowed us to go back working from home. Now, I kind of knew it was gonna go that route, because like I said earlier, there was only five of us at a time, and we felt like lab rats. And it's like, if the client company is really serious about making sure everything there is safe to work at, why isn't that they haven't asked 100%, if not 50% of employees who should be working there? You see, there was only five of us out of about 40, 45 that could be there at a time. Now, I understand 40 people is a lot to put in one room, and we're still trying to maintain, you know, social distancing. And they also, initially, what they said was, if you're vaccinated, you have the option to wear your mask or not. If you're not vaccinated, you have the obligation to wear it. Now, most of us there were vaccinated. Most of them weren't. Those who weren't, they weren't upholding the honor system of making sure they wore it. That was something that the client company did not feel like they wanted to engage in. So I guess that's another reason why they confided, or they chose to let us work from home again. So, and they told us to work from home until further notice. So I've heard a lot of companies will be allowing their employees to return back to the office in September, October. But again, those are other companies. And another concern, a growing concern from that, is that here in the U.S., that's when it starts getting cold. That's when people start getting sick again with the regular flu virus. And then, you know, who knows with COVID, and if there's going to be, if other variants could arise from that. But at least for me and my coworkers, and for the safety of myself and my family that I want to visit more often, I'm working from home. I'm a lot more comfortable. And I tell you what, I noticed that I lost a lot of sleep. I lost a lot of sleep having to commute into the office. I would wake up an hour and a half earlier than I used to before when I would work from home. And now that I'm working from home again, it feels like, you know, I've regained that hour that I don't lose in commuting to the office, and I'm making that up with sleep. So I'm really, really happy about that. So moving on to my progress in Dev Slopes, I am pretty much nowhere more advanced than I was before. I'm still working on that running app. I'm about 71% through the whole academy. Now I'm not gonna say stuck on the running app. I did do a lot. I took my laptop with me to go when I visit my sister, and on our downtime I worked on the app, and I made a lot of progress. What I managed to do was actually start a running session. I was able to collect the user's start GPS coordinates, start time and date. I was able to draw the polyline of the path the user has taken. That was a big deal for me to accomplish. And when the user ends the run session, I was able to collect the user's end GPS coordinates and end time and date. Furthermore, I was able to package all that data into a variable of a model object, and I called it session. And I was able to structure another data variable of type dictionary, and all the bits and pieces of information of that session data I was able to plug into the dictionary and upload that to Firebase, which is awesome, because that was probably one of the most challenging things that I had on the roadmap for the app. Now that I'm able to upload that data, it's going to be time for me to pull that data down. So any and all sessions that the user has taken, it'll show as a list on their main view. And also, I'm going to try to integrate this, even though it's not, you know, in the scope of the project to do, but I would really like to have some sort of a friends list where the user can find other friends. And when they follow somebody, or, you know, they follow each other or whatever, it'll show that other person's session history. It'll show them their the amount of miles or kilometers they've ran and the dates and all that. So again, that's not in the scope of the app, but that's something that I look forward to challenging myself to do. I've only messed around with finding friends online like that, using the app, with like chat apps and like Twitter clones or Instagram clones, you know. So the fact that I'll be able to use that past experience into this app, it means a big deal. Now, the only setback that I've had so far was not being able to upload the polyline data that MapKip shows. It shows the route, the path that the user has taken. Now, I think the reason why is because it needs to be structured as an array of how did I word it the other day? An array of dictionaries. Sorry. An array of dictionaries where it has the steps taken by the user. And these steps include, you know, turning left, turning right, go, you know, half a meter ahead, and then go left, go right. All that, all those steps is an array. And when Swift tries to save it, it really looks like an array of dictionary. Now, in order for me to upload that all that data, I need to structure the model object. And that is possibly the challenge. If I were to have more time, if I were to make more time for this app, I would need to restructure the model object. Now, my thing is that I think when I'm done building the app the way the assignment has it written, eventually I want to come back and try and save all those steps and refactor the model object to where it can actually save those steps and I'll be able to upload it to Firebase. So that is that's an ongoing that's a progress, work in progress, actually. That is a work in progress. So that's what I have for you regarding my progress in Dev Slopes. Another thing that I was really happy to accomplish last week, I applied for this opening, a remote role for iOS developer last week. And I believe a recruiter caught wind of it and gave me a call and pretty much wanted to expedite my application to the employer. So the recruiter got my basic info, my resume, and when I told him what I expected in a yearly salary, he said that he was able to bump that salary up by $3,000 more, which I was not going to argue with him. If I gave him a number that I think is fair for what my knowledge, but if he's willing to get me $3,000 more, I am not going to argue with that guy. So when he sent my application in about 2 days later, now we're talking about last Thursday, I get an email from the employer, I guess the hiring managers. They sent out a coding challenge. And it was a very interesting coding challenge because I thought they were going to like send me something that I've heard of candidates getting to code. I was under the assumption, you know, I guess wishful thinking or whatever, but I thought I was going to receive an assignment where, hey, build this app out. Here's an API. And here are some credentials. We need you to connect to the API, download the data, and display the data, you know, nice and neat. Well, the coding challenge that I received, it was more or less along that. I did receive an assignment where I needed to show data in cells in a table view. But this data also had additional data that can be displayed if you were to tap on the table cell, and it'll segue over to a table view where, again, it'll show additional data. So let me explain the details. So I got the assignment of having data from the New York School or Education Department. And they had a list of schools, and each school had SAT test data. It had how many students have taken the SATs, the average score for reading, the average score for writing, and the average score for math. So four types of data: number of students, the average score for reading, for writing, and for math. And I needed to build out an app where the table view would hold a school, and when you tap on it, it would show that all that other data of the number of students, reading, writing, and math average scores. There were 142 schools in that data itself. Now, where was the data? How was it hosted? You know, to me, it would be like, okay, they have an API or something to connect to. You know, easy. I've done that before. Well, it wasn't like that at all. The data was inside a CSV file. And you have to make that the source of your data. And thankfully, I worked with this Weather API class on Udemy, possibly around 2018, 2019. The instructor had a CSV file that he imported. This CSV file contained pretty much all the countries in the world, okay? And the reason why is because when you do a search, and as you type in a country's name, it'll populate in a table view below it, okay? Now, this CSV file, again, had almost every country in the world in this file. It's crazy. And if I remember correctly, there was 22,400 lines, which means there was 22,400 countries listed in that CSV file. And he showed how to extract that data and make it the source, and make it the source of, you know, where your app was gonna get that data and display it. Now, in this coding challenge, thankfully, there was only 142 schools, which meant there was only 142 lines, or, you know, in theory, there's gonna be 142 cells in the table view. Well, I backtracked and I was able to find that app in my GitHub, and I pretty much followed the same instructions, wrote out the same code. There were some stuff that I needed to research on, because some of the classes were were deprecated, pretty much. I mean, it was 3 years ago, so quite a few has changed. Swift is always changing, it's always evolving, so some things had to change. But thankfully, I saved. Let me say this again. Thankfully, I did that course, and thankfully, I saved that app, because it allowed me to complete the coding challenge within like 45 minutes, and I was very excited, because, you know, I work all day, 12 hours, and like, I did not have time during the day while I work to complete that application. Now, I know that if that role, I'm not guaranteed to get it. You know, there's never any guarantees. It's just a step closer. But a couple of key takeaways I got from doing that coding challenge is that I used to be like, anxious to see what an actual coding challenge looks like, because I've never received one before. And when I got that one, as soon as I read the scope of that app, I was like, I got excited. I literally got excited. The nervousness, the anxiousness just like withered away. And the reason why is because, again, I did an app related to where you needed to convert data from a CSV file. You need to import into the app, have the app read it, and convert that data into something that Swift can read and implement into the app, and integrate into the app. The second key takeaway is that never, ever think an app that you work on is not good enough to save, because it can really help you down the line. Like, I don't even care if it's like 100 lines of code that, you know, you wrote a quick, simple app just to teach yourself, you know, how to segue data from one view to another. Because I had that too. I had an app that's all it did was, you know, you hit a button, or you select it had like five like cars that I really like, and it had the dummy that had like static data. It was reading from static data, and it had like five cars that I really liked. It had like an image of the car, it had like the model name, the make, and all that. And when you tap on that cell, it would segue over to a view controller that displayed more data. It had a description, it had the horsepower, it had the 0 to 60 and so seconds. But it's little apps like that that you want to keep, because that's your reference. You know, I used that little app as well to complete this coding challenge, because that's what I needed. I needed to tap on the cell and then segue over to another view, but also take that index, the data of that index, over to the secondary view and display that data. So that's another key takeaway. And I hope that's, you know, a takeaway for you too. Don't think that just because it's a small app that it's not worth saving, because let me tell you, it is worth saving. And you know, as a beginner, as you're going through your journey of creating apps and getting better and better, you want to have a reference to look back on, because down the line you're going to get a coding challenge and you're going to need to do this and this. And yes, you know how to do it, but you just don't memorize, you know, because you can't keep everything in your head. You have an idea on how to do it, but you want something to reference to refresh your memory on how to do that and how to implement what the scope of the app asks for. Okay, so I hope that's a helpful key takeaway for you. Now, before I get into the next segment of who you should follow, here is a quick word from our sponsor, and I'm going to take a break too. All right, everybody, I am back. Now, in this episode's Who You Should Follow, I want to present Meg. I believe her last name is Sila. You can find her on Twitter with the handle of @MegGSila. That's @MegGSila. Don't worry about it. I'll make sure to put her information on the episode description. Meg is a fellow aspiring iOS developer. She recently joined Twitter over the summer, where she can document her progress, and she also took some iOS courses. Earlier this month, actually, she received her certificate of completion for the iOS and Swift Complete App Development Bootcamp, taught by the one and only Angela Yu, who I enjoy taking courses from. Angela is from the App Brewery company. Meg, she didn't take any, or I'm sorry, she didn't waste any time implementing what she learned in the bootcamp. She recently just created a little project where she utilized the MovieDB API endpoint to show movie information, but she also used Firebase for authentication for users to sign up and sign in. And she used Face ID and Touch ID in order for the user to view adult content. So if you're on Twitter, or if you're not on Twitter, sign up and find Meg on Twitter and tell her yours truly, your pal Joe sent you. All right, everybody, that is a wrap for this episode. Before I leave you, I really want to encourage you to find me on Twitch. I really want to build a strong community on that platform. And I feel as though interacting with each other live on that platform would be very, very awesome. I really do not have a set schedule of when I'll broadcast, but if you follow me on Twitter, I'll make sure to alert you all at least an hour in advance so y'all can make time. And at this moment, I can either be broadcasting during the day or sometime at night, depending on, you know, what schedule I'm looking towards working at my job. But thankfully, since I'm currently working from home, it wouldn't be too bad, because my schedule can be a little flexible. Since I don't have to commute or anything, I could probably broadcast a little longer. But the key takeaway is please follow me on Twitter, and that way you can find me on Twitch as well. I'll make sure to have the links to both platforms in the podcast description, in the episode description, sorry. So until next time, be good to each other, be a great neighbor, happy coding. Bye-bye. Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening to this episode. If this episode brings you any value, do leave a review, and if you have time, a comment. Your feedback is greatly appreciated and will help me produce future episodes. If you'd like to leave me a voice message, which I would greatly look forward to, head over to anchor.fm/myswiftjourney, click on the message button, and record away. I look forward to your messages. Happy coding.